Well, good morning and greet all of you in Jesus' name. It's good. It is good to be back here. Reminded how large of an assembly this is. A Bible school. It's like 50 students, and the church there at Darbin is small. So, by comparison, this is large. Reminded of that. We had a very good time at Bible school. It was a good experience, and we enjoyed our time there. And it was just very good to see the young folks dig into the Word, ask questions, have discussions, and just participate there with them. Also, thank you to all of you for your prayers and the support you showed us with messages and things you sent us and cards. It meant a lot to hear from you all, so thank you for that. We are working at getting reintegrated. I don't think I've ever been away from normal for that long that I can remember, and other than going to Bible school as a youngster myself. And it's just, it is something. It's a little disruptive to be gone that long. And so we're working at getting reintegrated and hopefully catch up on our schedules and responsibilities and maybe even some sleep. So you can remember us as we do that. It's good to have everyone gathered here. We came back and heard about all the sickness going around. We experienced our own, some of the flu and some sickness at Bible school. Monday I returned to work, and the office seemed to be only half capacity. There was a lot of our team members were sick, calling off sick, and it was just come back to like, wow, there's things going around here. Hopefully we can escape this. So fortunately, I'm feeling mostly good this morning. Have a little sniffle, but other than that, I feel fortunate because I hear that the testimony that some are having, it's the worst sickness they've had in a long time. There was even a question this week if we could have a chorus program. We sent a little chorus committee sent a little survey around asking who all could come, and we finally concluded we have enough, but the chorus has even been impacted. So there's just a lot of sickness out there. As I was thinking about that, you know, how none of us like these seasons of sickness, and it's something we have been experiencing these last few winters. Seems like since COVID, it's maybe worse. As I thought about that, the question came to my mind, what does the scripture say about sickness? More importantly, what did Jesus do about sickness? How did he relate to sickness? You've probably heard, at some point, you've heard Jesus referred to as the great physician. And so it's a rather simple message, I think, this morning, but the title is The Great Physician. And I just want to look at what the scripture says. How did Jesus relate to this? Why is he called the great physician? And what can we learn from him as he related to the sicknesses that the human race, other humans experienced? We'll look at his ministry to the sick and afflicted while he was on earth, and learn something about the heart of Jesus as we look at that, and consider a few accounts of his healing. Also want to consider the most important healing, which is spiritual healing, and then maybe a few practical considerations at the end. You can turn to Luke 5 for a text. Luke chapter 5. We'll read verses 12 through 32. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed, And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which are come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And after these things he went forth, and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, and rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So here we have an account of two miracles of healing that Jesus did. We have the leper, first of all, who was immediately cleansed of his leprosy upon meeting Jesus and having faith that Jesus could heal him. We also have the healing of the paralyzed man, who his friends brought to Jesus and persevered until they found a way to get him to Jesus. And he was healed and took up his bed and walked. And we go on to the end where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, They that are whole need not a physician, but that they that are sick. I came not to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's sort of the key theme that I would like to look at, and we'll get to those verses in a bit. But the first thing I would like to consider is the physical healing that Jesus did while here on earth. The physical healing was what I would call part of the ministry of Jesus. And you can turn to Matthew chapter 4. I want to read a few verses there. We will be turning to a few passages this morning. We notice through the Gospels, if you take note as you observe Jesus' ministry, that healing and meeting people's physical needs was a key part of his ministry here on earth. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And this passage highlights the diversity of the things that Jesus healed, and how not only did he go out preaching the gospel of the kingdom, it says, but he went about healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And so it was a key feature of Jesus' ministry here on earth that he, as he preached and as he spread the message of the gospel and the message of the coming kingdom and what he was going to set up, as he taught the people, not only did he teach them, but he met their physical needs. He cared about their physical needs. He healed all manner of things, gave a whole list there. All things were healed. And it resulted in the people being excited to follow him, to come and see who this man was, what he was teaching and what he was doing. And many of them came for the physical healing, but they ended up hearing the truth. And there are many accounts, and we don't have time to list them all. I did a little search to try and find out how many accounts of Jesus' healing are recorded, and I really couldn't come up with a conclusive number. But throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus time and time again healing people and meeting their physical needs. And so this physical ministry, physical healing, was part of the ministry of Jesus. People sought him out for the healing, and they heard the gospel message. And we look at that and say, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus were still here today and were able to heal us that way? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be nice if we knew that the master himself, the master healer, the great physician, was somewhere in some town that we could go to him and we could have our physical ailments taken care of? There is something awe-inspiring about the power of healing that Jesus had, and it was a key feature of his ministry on earth. Well, we know that's not the case, but we'll look at that in a bit, how Jesus relates to our infirmities today. The second point I would like to consider is that Jesus was motivated by compassion. In Matthew chapter 14, you can turn over to there. What caused Jesus to want to do these miracles, this healing? What caused him to want to reach out to people and take care of all their physical ailments? He was motivated by compassion. Verse 13, this is after, John the Baptist, I believe, had been killed. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Here Jesus was. He had just learned that John the Baptist had been killed by Herod. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. He had a relationship with Jesus. He was the one who had baptized Jesus. This could not have been good news. And he needed time apart. And he went to a desert place to find some solitude and some time apart. And yet when the people heard where he went, it says they followed him on foot. They tracked him down. They had such a desire to be with Jesus and to find him and to find that great physician. And when Jesus heard of it, he went forth and he saw all the people that had come, and he was moved with compassion. And so Jesus' heart was full of compassion for those around him. And he says he healed their sick. Jesus taking time, even when he needed time for himself, to have compassion on the needs of his fellow men. Matthew chapter 20 records another account, 20 verses 34. Matthew chapter 20, starts in verse 30. Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. And here again, we see Jesus being moved with compassion, taking time not to just pass by these blind men sitting there begging for mercy, but to stop and to meet their needs. And we see the compassion he had on those around him with needs. Mark has an account that parallels the account that we read in Luke, in the verses in Luke of the leper. And his account says this: "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." And again, we see Jesus being moved with compassion out of a heart of caring for people. He was not motivated by the publicity he received. He did not do the miracles, I believe, just to gain attention, to show his power, to show what he could do, but rather it was out of a genuine heart of compassion and care for those around him. In fact, many times, in various accounts, he instructed the person who was healed not to tell anyone. We see that in our text verses in Luke, verse 14, he tells the leper to tell no man. And so he was not motivated by the publicity and by the crowds that were following him, but rather out of a genuine heart of love and compassion for mankind who he had come to minister to. And I believe Jesus still has that heart of compassion for us today in our infirmities. Third point, Jesus had power over all disease. All things obeyed his command. Wherever you find an instance of Jesus healing, an account of Jesus healing someone, no matter what the problem was, it obeyed his command. Frequently, in the accounts, Jesus issues a direct command. To this leper, he said, "Be thou clean." To the paralyzed man, he said, "Take up thy bed and walk." There was another account of a deaf man who he told the deaf man's ears, "Be thou opened." There was a man with a withered hand who he said, "Stretch forth thine hand," and when he did, it was healed. To these blind men, he touched their eyes and they received sight. There was nothing that was outside of his power. Jesus had all power over all infirmities, over all diseases. Never was there a question of Jesus' authority or Jesus' power over these things. And most of the time, the results were immediate. There was no recovery. There was no process of getting well. There was no bed rest needed. There was no, length of time as you needed. But it was immediate healing. It's just beautiful to see that. The authority and the power that Jesus had and the immediate healing when he reached out. And in addition to that, nothing was impossible or incurable. As I mentioned already, there's other verses that bring that out. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 talks about what we read. It talked about him healing all manner of disease, of sickness and all manner of disease. Everything. Nothing was incurable. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36 says this, "And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. And he besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." Again, we see this is an account, I believe, after Peter walked on water and began to sink, and the Lord rescued him, and they continued across the lake, and they came to this country. And the people knew him, and they knew him as a healer, and they gathered all the people that had physical infirmities and disease. And all they besought him, all they really cared about was just get close enough to touch Jesus, to touch the hem of his garment, to access that power and that complete healing. And it says they were made perfectly whole. Nothing was out of scope. Nothing was impossible or incurable for Jesus. As many as touched were made whole. Jesus was able to heal all those who came in faith and reached out to him, even if it were just to touch the hem of his garment. There's other accounts, as you read accounts of Jesus' healing, it frequently uses the word all. As he went about into different towns and people came to him, and he says it healed all their sick. He didn't run out of ability. Nothing was too hard or too complex for Jesus. Jesus had all power over disease and sickness, and it was in control of physical healing. Fourthly, Jesus had authority over the timing of the healing. Go to Luke. I want to read an account from Luke chapter 13. Verses 10 through 16. "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. And so we see Jesus having authority over the timing of the healing. Here was a woman who had an issue where she could not stand up straight. She was bowed together and could not stand up straight for 18 years, 18 long years to be in this condition. Being in that condition for 10 minutes would be difficult, let alone 18 years. And I'm sure this woman probably cried out to God for healing many times. She had suffered long. This was miserable. But it wasn't until the divinely appointed time that she was healed. When the master healer, the great physician, decided that it was time for her to be healed, in his time, she was healed. We also see the glory that Jesus brought to himself through healing, through this miracle. The glory went to God and to the power of God, and it stopped his adversaries from speaking. And the people rejoiced and glorified God because of the things that were done. The healing that Jesus brings is designed to bring glory to God and to the power, to the great physician himself. And we need to keep that in mind, that healing and the glory and the honor for healing must go to God. And we'll touch on that a little bit later, but we see that in this passage. Also, go to Luke chapter 8. There's another account I would like to note. A few verses here I want to read. I want to start at verse 40 and read through 56. And I'll notice some of the points that I've already mentioned coming out here. Jesus' power over healing, Jesus' power over timing, his compassion. Verse 40, it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and now she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one of the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. So there's a lot going on here. The point I want you to get from this is that, again, Jesus has authority over timing of the healing. We have two things happening simultaneously. Jesus being on his way to the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus' house, to heal his daughter who lay dying. And while he was going, this woman who had an issue for 12 years and had spent all her living on physicians and could not be healed, touched the border of his garment and immediately was healed. And he sensed that power had gone out and that something had happened. And he knew that what she had done, and yet he wanted to recognize her. And so this woman who had pursued healing and had pursued everything she knew to gain healing, only at the divinely appointed time was healed by the master. And in addition, while he was distracted or delayed by this event, the girl who was on the way to heal before died. And it looked like everything was out of control when they said, don't bother Jesus. There's no need. She's dead. Too late, Jesus. You didn't make it. But once again, the great physician was in charge of the timing. He was in control of what was happening. And he calmly said, fear not, only believe, and she shall be made whole. And he proceeds to go and raise this girl to life. And so we see Jesus, the master healer, in control of the timing of healing. We need to believe in the sovereign will and timing of God. And many times in our human experience, when we experience physical ailments and disease and malady, we want to fix it right away. That's our human tendency, and that's not wrong. And we desire healing immediately. But I would like to just remind us that no matter what we pursue and what we try to do with what we know, with doctors and medicine and so forth, that God is still in control of the timing of our healing. He knows what is best, even when we experience debilitating health issues that seem like God doesn't know what he's doing. And that's a hard thing to say. It's a really hard thing to say, because we look at that and we say, this can't be right. This can't be what God wants for me. This can't be, how can I serve the kingdom when I have this issue that's preventing me? And yet we must rest in the sovereign will of God and understand that even these things, when given to him, can be used for his purpose. And I know that's a hard thing to say, and it's a hard thing to grasp a hold of. But we see Jesus, the master healer, being in control of the timing of the healing for his honor and for his glory. And so from these accounts, we learn about the physical healing that was part of the ministry of Jesus on earth. It was an important part of his earthly ministry, and how he went about teaching, and with compassion for those around him, he's exercised his power and authority to heal the sick and diseased and to meet the needs of man. But he didn't come just to heal the physical man. Second part of the message is the spiritual healing is the mission of Jesus. So physical healing was part of the ministry of Jesus. The spiritual healing is the mission of Jesus. Jesus' healing physically was to prove his ability to forgive sins and to heal spiritually. Back to our text in Luke 5, verse 23, brought that out. He said to the man on his bed, to the Pharisees that doubted him, when he said, man, thy sins be forgiven him, the scribes and the Pharisees said, well, who can do this? Who this is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins except God? And Jesus said to them, what's easier, to say thy sins be forgiven, or to say rise up and walk? Which can you do? Which is of God and which isn't? But he said, that you might know that I am the Son of Man, and that I have power to forgive sins, I'm going to heal. And so the physical healing that Jesus did was to point men to his authority as the Son of Man to bring spiritual healing and forgiveness of sins. And he put their questions to silence by proving that his power could heal this man physically, and not only physically, but also spiritual healing, that he could forgive sins, because only God could do that. And although Jesus healed many people physically, his primary mission was the healing of the sinful state of man. In verse 20, we see him forgiving the sins of this man that had a palsy, this man on his bed. And then verse 32, back to his answer to them after their questioning about what he was doing, spending so much time with publicans and sinners. Why are you spending time with the outcasts and with the people who are known to be less than desirable. And Jesus' answer to that is, those that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And not only in a physical sense, but he was speaking in a spiritual sense. Verse 32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so the mission of Jesus was to come to save sinners, to come and to those that knew they were the outcasts, those that that knew they were the sick spiritually, those that they knew were rejected, to bring them healing, spiritual healing, to make them whole, to minister to them. And yet, even as he spoke to them, those same Pharisees that stood there and criticized them, they were in just as much need of a healer as the publicans and sinners. And yet they didn't recognize it. They thought they were the ones that were whole. They thought they were the ones that were righteous. And so we must recognize our need of healing, whether physically, but most of all, spiritually. The mission of Jesus is spiritual healing. And those that don't recognize their need of Jesus and their need of the great physician in their spiritual lives and the great physician for their souls miss the mission of the great physician. This was spoken to the Pharisees, who, being critical of Jesus, being associated with this with despised society, and who needed spiritual healing just as much as they, to prove, to help them understand who they really were, and yet they still missed it. And as I thought about the physical sickness that we experience, and how can there be any good in it? One of the things that I think it does, at least it does for me, is realize how frail we are, and how much our life is dependent on the mercy and the provision of God. And how much we need the great physician, not only in our physical healing, but in our spiritual lives as well. Let's not miss the mission of the great physician. And this mission is more important to Jesus than our physical healing. In fact, our souls are more important than being perfectly made whole physically. Matthew 18, verses 7 through 9, Jesus said this, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thine hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire." And so, various things you can take from that, but the point I want you to realize this morning is that our physical well-being is less important than our soul's well-being. Mm-hmm. And the mission of Jesus is to come and to save our soul and to make us whole so that we can escape the everlasting fire and the hellfire that he speaks of here. And Jesus speaking here of causing others or oneself to sin and stating that it would be better to be physically impaired and to go through life in a physical state that's less than desirable and less than what we wish, it would be better to do that than to lose your soul. Demonstrates the primary importance that Jesus puts on the healing and salvation of the soul. And so Jesus truly is the great physician. He came, he did physical healing as a part of his ministry, but his mission is the salvation of our souls. And he had all authority over physical sickness, but he also demonstrated his power and authority to forgive sins. Jesus is the great physician. Now, a few practical thoughts. How in the world does this apply today? Jesus isn't here among us. We can't go follow a crowd and get healing. How do we think about this in light of the sickness and disease that we experience? And there's three things I'd like to quickly go over. And the first one is maybe seems like taking a sidestep, but the first one I just want to plant as I think about health and well-being in our day and age is that there's a lot of false doctrine that abounds. There's a lot of false thinking and error in the realm of health and medicine. and even in the realm of religion as it relates to health and medicine. There's the health and wealth gospel preachers out there who are popular and draw big crowds, and they teach that Jesus wants you to be healthy, and that if you follow him, you should be healthy. He will heal you. And that's wrong. We're not guaranteed physical health. We're guaranteed we have availability of spiritual healing, mm-hmm. of the saving of the soul, but not the saving of the body. There's also there's the faith healers. Now, I haven't heard of this too much lately, but I remember as a youth, there was a church in our area that put a promotion on. They were having this faith healer come in from outside, and he could do, it was actually a local evangelical church, and they were hosting this pastor who claimed to be a faith healer, and they had testimonies of the people he healed and people that got up out of their wheelchairs and things that people's lives were completely changed. And all you had to do is come be part of this service and see this man, and they invited you to become healed and witness the power of healing. Is that wrong? Can we be healed by faith? These faith healers claim to be able to pray over you, to lay hands on you, and by faith miraculously heal you. The problem is that I believe that the focus tends to be on the healer rather than the source of healing. And many of these faith healers promote themselves, and it's for their own gain, and it's for their own benefit rather than actually benefiting others. And in fact, reality is I don't believe they actually can heal as they claim. The other part of this is false doctrines. Beware of the many medical scams and too good to be true, heal all your ailments claims. There's so much out there. There's so many things you can try and do. And yeah, just be wise. We desire health. And we sometimes desire health so much we're vulnerable to try anything that seems like it could help. Mm-hmm. So my practical advice is get advice from those who have proven to have knowledge or wisdom in these areas and beware of scams. Mm-hmm. Follow scriptural principles in our quest for healing. And for that, I want to go to James chapter 5 yet. James chapter 5, we're given a New Testament pattern for healing. Verses 13 to 18. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs, sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And so this is the scripture where we get the ordinance of anointing with oil that we have as part of our ordinances, and this pattern of those that are extremely sick calling for the elders of the church and having a service of anointing and prayer. And this is something that Jesus told his disciples to do in Mark chapter 6 verse 12 and 13 when he sent them out to minister, and they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So what can we learn from this? There's two things I would like to note. One is physicians and medicine are not wrong. So the oil, while in this might be symbolic, this word for oil means olive oil. And olive oil was a common medicine, a common ointment, a common thing used to promote healing in many different ways. Jesus references this in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, verse 34. It says, he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And so Jesus implied the use of something as medicine. And that's implied in this ordinance. The oil, I believe, is symbolic of using something as medicine to help us in whatever ailments we have. We live in an era of advanced healthcare when doctors can perform a lot of corrective measures. We also have the availability of great variety of types of medicine, over-the-counter things for all common sicknesses we experience. And we commonly reach for things. We have availability. You get a headache, you take this or that or the other thing, or you have a cold, you take this. And we have a lot of these things available, and they're not wrong. This is not all wrong, as Jesus indicated, the use of medicines for healing. Even Paul wrote to Timothy, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. And so he's indicating the use of something as a medicine. And I believe that medicine and healthcare, based on research and testing, is simply the discovery and application of principles that God has put in place. God has designed the human body. God has designed the world around us. And when we study those things and apply them correctly, we're using the principles that God has put in place to promote healing and well-being. And that's not wrong. The question is, in all that, do we remember that God is the master healer? And that he is ultimately in control of our healing. And that we must not forget the second part of this, in that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And so that's the second part of this. Faith in God's power must not be overlooked. And maybe we have moved too far away from this because we're scared to be associated with the faith healers and those that put too much emphasis on the faith part. And we've moved over so far that the first thing we think about is grabbing a pill bottle or some sort of medicine or running off to the doctor whenever we don't feel well. And that's not all wrong, as I said. But we need to remember the great physician that we looked at. The one who has compassion, the one who has power, the one who has control over the timing. And we need to have faith and pray in faith that God would direct our healing and be involved in our healing process. This indicates a private ceremony where the elders go to the person who is sick. This is one point that goes against the faith healers who have to do these things in a public setting for the attention. This is not an attention-getting ceremony, but rather something that focuses on the person acknowledging their need and their faith in God to direct their need. We notice in the accounts of Jesus' healing that we read that faith was present in those that received healing. He often said, because of your faith, you are made whole. They believed in the power that Jesus had to heal them and to make them well. And so my encouragement to you this morning in thinking about this is let's not forget to have faith and to ask in prayer for healing. There is a right time for praying and maybe even laying on of hands for those who are sick. And you don't necessarily have to call the elders to do this. Maybe you as a family can gather around and pray for someone who's sick and demonstrate that you're putting your faith in God even while you're taking medicine. In dealing with sickness, we should include prayer and faith in God's healing. Are we doing this? We need to have faith that the same Jesus who had compassion while he was here and healed men while he walked among them is now the same Jesus that is interceding for you and me and bringing our requests to God, even the ones about our health. And we should have faith that if it is his will, he can heal us, and that at his command, healing can be experienced. And so I've been challenged by looking at this to not forget the prayer of faith and acknowledging God's sovereignty in healing our bodies, and to pray for healing when we face sickness. We also need to keep in perspective that God does not always choose to heal. God in his sovereignty knows what is best for us. Paul said this, Philippians 1, 22-23, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And so he said, well, I want to live here and do what God wants me to do. There's part of me that wants to go because it's better. And so for the Christian, we should desire to live and to serve God here in this life, but realize that departing this life is a gain. We gain by escaping the plague of illness and the curse of sin and the battle of this life. And so like Paul, We should say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In this life, we will face physical illness and affliction. I hope this message this morning helps you to remember that the compassion that Jesus has for those who are sick, the compassion he still has for us. And when experiencing sickness, don't forget to pray and have faith in the power of God's healing and Christ's healing. But most of all, let's make sure we experience the soul healing and the gift of salvation that we can receive so that one day we can be freed forever from physical suffering. May God bless you as you go from here. Let's pray.